It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're going to study the book of Revelation. We're going to just begin the study today. This will be the first week that we have done it, so please that you have you come and enjoy it. Revelation chapter 1 is the last book of the Scripture. I hope that you enjoy the study, and I hope that that you'll be able to stay with us throughout the whole continual study that we'll have on the book of Revelation. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks of Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you can find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to find Revelation, and we'll begin the study. This will be somewhat of an introduction here at the beginning, but so enjoy it. Revelation chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings, priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of those verses of Scripture. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and study this precious book. Every time we have been able to come together and enjoy the study, it is always wonderful because you come and you speak to our hearts. There's much to be said here in this book, so please that you will direct us every letter, every word, every line, that we may know your perfect will. I ask, dear Father, that all that are listening, I hope that they all know you as their personal Savior. I hope they have come by faith to you and trusted in you. If they have not, I ask that today be the day of salvation, that they will ask you to come into their hearts, and you will save them today, and you will keep them. So please, dear Lord, that be the case today. Today is the day of salvation. For all that are saved, we ask that it be a time of growth today. So please just guide and lead us now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This book, as we put it together here and begin to do this study, we find that there are several things at the very beginning, even the direction it goes from God the Father to God the Son, the Lord Jesus, to the angel, then to John, and then he hands it to the servants. And we can find all that in the first verse. So if you'll follow me here, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, okay, so God the Father gave it to the Son, the Lord Jesus, to show unto his servants, that's us, we're able to receive this precious word, which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And so we have all those that are involved in bringing this precious word. And we know it is none other than the Lord Jesus bringing it to us, and we have the sweet Holy Spirit to teach and to show us His way and will. For every believer, if you've come by faith to Jesus, the Holy Spirit has come into your heart to live. And so you have the opportunity to learn and to grow if you are saved. And so I hope that you've trusted in Jesus. This book is the revelation. It's not plural. It's not revelations. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. The only prophetic book of the New Testament is this book, the book of Revelation. The Lord is revealed, is unveiled here and revealed to us. The future is given by a series of visions, and we will look at those very carefully. These visions are shown to John the Beloved, and John was on the Isle of Patmos when this took place, and what John witnessed will come to pass literally. And so you need to understand that this book isn't something that is not going to literally take place. And so I want you to understand that. I believe and I trust the Word of God. And when it tells us that this is what's going to happen, we know it, we can see it. And so please that you will follow very closely with me through this study, that we may seek the Lord's will and His power and His direction. Through this, we will see light and darkness. We will see righteousness and unrighteousness. We're going to see good and evil opposing each other. We're going to see Father God, and we're going to see the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. We're going to see Satan. We're going to see saved men and lost men. We're going to see holy angels and unholy angels. We're going to see a time that's beyond our time, so from time to eternity. We're going to see heaven to earth. We're going to see earth to the lake of fire. We're going to see a river of blood that's 200 miles long, 6 feet deep, and 10 miles wide. We're going to see millions of white horses. This book, Revelation, will be the ultimate destruction of evil and the triumph of good. The first verse here says, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. The very first words in the book of Revelation clearly reveals to us that the 22 chapters contained the revelation of Jesus Christ. This revelation was given by God, and that it was given for the purpose of showing unto God's servants things which must shortly come to pass. Why did the Holy Spirit say must shortly come to pass, since it has been almost 2,000 years since these words were spoken? Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So according to God's time clock, it's only been 2 days. It's only been 2 days. So when we look at things spiritual, things eternal, it's not been very long. It's only been 2 days. We see here that John the Beloved is the writer of this book, but not the author. The author of Revelation is, of course, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. John not only heard the words, but he also saw what will literally take place on earth and in the heavenlies. Witnessed it, and he's going to tell us what he's seen. It's a wonderful book to look at. Verse 1, verse 2, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. He sent and signified it by his angel unto the servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. perfect. It's going to be a beautiful study to have God show us through his servant John what's coming. Verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth and prophesy, readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. That third verse, blessed is he that readeth. Blessings and cursings. The blessing is for those who read this book and keep it. The curse is for those who don't. Blessed means happy. It's a blessed book and should bring joy. Blessed are they that read this book aloud to the assemblies of the church. We need to study this book. We don't need just to read this book. We need to study this book. And that's what it's talking about, because it continues. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Now see, many times we can read something, but it kind of comes in one ear and goes out the other. It is so important, my friend, that we read this book as all others, whether it begins with Genesis and ends with the last chapter and verse of Revelation. When we read the Word, we need to literally study the Word, search the Word. And as we do, God will speak to us through His Word and such power and strength that we'll receive. What a wonderful day that we have. The day that we spend with Jesus in His Word. And I hope that you do that. I hope you do that on a regular basis. But this here, we are to read this aloud. In other words, I should preach this, and I do. This, not only the book of Revelation, but also the full Word from, again, the beginning of Genesis all the way through. We study verse by verse. We don't just come with a topic and preach or teach that topic. We take God's Word in its context and we study it. And so when you do that, you're going to grow. Oh, you're going to grow. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you start to look to this book and study this book. Not going to be long, you're going to get saved. Because the first thing the Holy Spirit will show you when you open this precious book is the author, and that's Jesus. And that's who you need to know, because He'll save you and He's going to keep you. Blessed is the man that reads, and blessed is the man that listens, hears, and obeys, as this scripture tells us. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Blessings. The blessings are stated here in 1:3. Blessed is the man. We have another blessing back in Revelation 22:7. It's not far away. Let's go back there. 22:7, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. What a beautiful verse of Scripture. Now let's look at the other side of it, and that's the side of the curse. Because you see, if you do not believe, it doesn't take away from the Word of God, but it sure makes your day a miserable day. And we can find that in Revelation 22:18 and 19. And so Revelation 22:18 and 19, For verily, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Is that clear enough for you? You best look to the Word of God and you best keep it. You say, well, I don't believe it. You've got a serious problem. If you do not believe the Word of God, you have no hope of salvation. And I'm talking about understanding, believing the Word of God. And belief comes first, faith comes first by trusting in Jesus. It starts there. Nothing can be built beyond that, before that. It has to start with your personal relationship with Jesus. So please come to know Him today. Come to trust Him today. Readeth. 1 Timothy 4:13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. That word exhortation is to one's aid, encouragement. Till I come, give attendance to reading, studying, to encouraging and helping, and to doctrine. Today, doctrines have left the church. That, they say, causes division, and so we're going to get rid of all doctrines. Well, if you do, then you've got a country club. You've got a feel-good place, and please get out of there. Get to a place that stands up on the Word of God and the doctrines of the Word of God. And you say, well, I don't even know what they are. Come find out. And if you come by faith to Jesus, begin to study His Word, the Holy Spirit will show you these wonderful doctrines. 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. That word profiting there means joy, power, love of the Lord will be seen. All that will come in that verse. And so please meditate upon these things, the Word of God. Study it. And now again at the end of verse 3 is, for the time is at hand. We have been living in this time ever since the birth of the church. And this time is called the last days. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. I hope that you're able to study the Word with me and have your Bibles open. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. These last days. You see, Scripture confirms Scripture, so we continue to move forward in the Scripture, back in the Scripture, to see exactly what each means. The last days. So we are living in this time of the last days. The time is at hand, the last days. Hebrews 9:25-26 says the end of the world means the end time. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 25 and 26 to read that verse, end of the world. Hebrews, should have kept our hand there, shouldn't we? Hebrews chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest cometh into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. This end of the world that he is speaking of here in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26, is the same end time that we're looking at here in the time is at hand, the end time. All of that is the same term as we have here in the end of verse 3. Since Jesus came and died on the cross, we have been living in the closing days of time. I don't want you to miss that. This is what's been going on 2,000 years. What do I have to worry about? Well, if you don't know Jesus, you may not see the close of this that we're going to study today, but what you will have, you could face death. I'm sure folks, all you have to do is look in the newspaper, in the obituaries, and you're probably going to find somebody that's younger than you that has died. And so our age is really not relevant because there is a point to be born, a day to be born, and a day to die, and God has set those times. Now, you may have many years, you may have few years, so we have to live each day as if it is our last, serving, praising, honoring, and bringing glory to our God. In order for you to do that, you must know Jesus as your personal Savior. You need to trust in Jesus today and be saved. Please trust in Him. Verse 4 kind of changes here. We're going to talk about the seven churches which are in Asia. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne. Seven churches. These are literal churches that were in Asia. It doesn't mean that there were only seven churches in Asia, but because there were many more. But these seven churches are named in this in the chapters of chapter 2 and chapter 3 of this book. They represent literal churches, and also they represent church ages. There are seven church ages. We are in the final church age today, and that is the church age of the Laodicean church. So as we look at these seven churches, they are seven literal churches. It doesn't mean that that's all there was. There is just seven churches here that God has spoken about, and it brings this full look of the church ages as well. So please stay with us. This is a wonderful study. The churches chosen, these little churches chosen by the Spirit to represent the church age. Each one has their own church age. So not only is John's day, but down through the centuries until the church is raptured to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. These seven churches represent periods of time clearly defined in history. We're going to look at that. The number seven is the number of completion or perfection. The number seven is God's number. Seven churches. This is a complete work here. And so, again, in John's age, day, when he sees this, they are seven literal churches, yes. But also, the Spirit has so guided that those seven churches had the characteristic, the things that are going on during the church age in each one of those churches at that time. And so some of these will overlap. You'll notice that as we're studying. The first six churches, we will see true believers, born-again saints in those. But the seventh, there is no saved folks there. And so this is going to be a very interesting study. If you've never studied the book of Revelation, I hope that you don't miss one of the studies. We do put each one of these up on the website, so they will be found there to be able to listen to whenever you would like. The message of the churches to the believers is that He will keep us and protect us. examples that we have are Noah, Lot, Rahab, before that great and terrible hour in Revelation 3:10, we will receive the call to come up hither. The message to the churches, the message to you as a believer, before the tribulation starts, before it begins, we will be taken from this earth. We call it the rapture, taken up. And so I hope that you know Jesus, because that's the only way that you're going to be able to enjoy that voyage, that ride. Verse 10 of the third chapter of Revelation, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come unto all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. This is when the church leaves. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Whenever the tribulation starts, prior to that, we will be taken away. Noah was allowed to go in to the ark. We have Lot was delivered out from the time of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Rahab, she was kept safe. Every time God keeps his own, and he's going to do the same thing when this end time comes. There's going to be a time that we're going to get a call, and that call is to come up hither. This fourth verse says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. Grace and peace. The common need among all the redeemed, all the saved. This is a need, God's grace and God's peace. Without the grace of God, we would all burn in hell, and we deserve to. Without the peace of God in our hearts, we would all be most miserable. Grace is the source of all blessings. Peace is a rightful possession of every blood-bought, born-again believer. Grace and peace come by and through him which is, which was, which is to come. This clearly sets forth the eternal existence of God. God is an eternal spirit. God is, God has always been, and God will always be. What a wonderful statement this fourth verse tells us. Now, just in a little bit of review before we close for the first day, the first study of this lesson, I'm going to read through to the fourth verse. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now, we're going to enjoy this study. I am sure glad that you're with us today. Don't miss one study of this book of Revelation. Please. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?